Greetings in the Lord Jesus Christ. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries. Chapter 21. The Mystery of Christ. The Wrath of the Lamb. Scriptures. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth. Even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled up together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation 6:12-17. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus, and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For whatever things he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth the dead, and reviveth them, even so the Son reviveth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment to the Son, that all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father who hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but hath passed from death to life. Verily, verily, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. John 5, verses 17-29, Webster edition. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 7-12. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night for ever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, verses 6 to 15. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put on you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 2, verses 18 to 29. End scriptures. Two visions. First vision. I beheld the Lord Jesus Christ take a hold of the past ages gone by right up to this present hour, and they were and like they were a huge scroll, he rolled them up, placing the huge scroll upon his shoulder, and he carried it away. The former things had passed away. End vision. Second vision. I saw Jezebel in the bed of fornication. She lay there in the state of absolute apostasy, and she delivered many children. I saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing in the holiest place. He was clothed down to the foot and girded with a golden girdle. His hairs were white like wool, and his eyes as a flame of fire. I saw a sword come forth out of his mouth, and he killed Jezebel's children, slaying them all with the sword of his mouth, and not one of her children born of idolatry and fornication survived. the children were killed, even upon their mother's bed, and not one of them escaped the sword that came forth out of the mouth of the living Christ. End vision. End two visions. Continuing on in our study on the mystery of Christ, we come to the part wherein we must balance carnal thinking with true thinking, for carnal thinking has always twisted the truth of Scripture into error and into false doctrines. The reason we need to understand the mystery of Christ is very simple. It is because very few have a true vision of who he truly is, both as a person and as the true Lord God. It is contingent upon the overcomers in this hour to know the Lord in truth and to be able to relate to him when tribulations arise, so that they can know him in the full presence of his person and not just by rote doctrine. Christ is seeking personal relationships, just like a friend with a friend, and he was indeed here upon this earth, making friends of his disciples and others, even while he went about Father's business. So the need is to take the carnal mind aside and to think with the mind of the Spirit. So much has been written of late concerning the things of the Lord. We have a vast treasure house of grain that has been given as bread for the eater out of the many things written in our day. So taking those things which are precious to many, how do we turn them to a personable knowledge of Jesus, not just because of writings, but because he actually communes with each one individually who loves him, this communion being the deep calling into the deep within the soul? I dare say that many writings have been prone to creating division and an increase in carnality rather than putting on the new man, which is created in righteousness and is the mind of the Spirit. An extreme need is upon us to be balanced in our walk, so that the Lord has free course in our lives to commune with each one without any restraint, that he is free to walk in our lives as one who can freely display his person in us. The desire of the Lord is such that he wants to completely habituate our persons with no restraint, so that his holiness and his person are freely displayed. So this upward drawing power of the Lord, placed upon those who love him, has created a problem also. For the writings and ministries that have come forth have been in mixture. It has been tainted with the opinions of carnal minds, working religious effort, and as a result, many of the writings are defiled. The grain that these writings are intended to be comes out as musty granaries, and the result is rotten bread. This is not a new problem. Since the time of Jesus ascended back to Father, man has tainted himself because of the carnal mind. Think of the carnal mind as being a method of thinking that has no power of the Spirit behind it. By Spirit, I mean the true Spirit of the Lord and of the very mind that possessed Christ. The carnal mind thinks only of this earth, of this life in this earth. It hopes for an easy entry into the next and dissuades anything that would make that entry to be otherwise. Self is the protected object of the carnal mind. I'll say that again. Self is the protected object of the carnal mind. The mind of the Spirit thinks only of removing from itself anything that would separate it from the pure life of Spirit that comes from the Lord alone. And I'll repeat that as well. The mind of the Spirit thinks only of removing from itself anything that would separate it from the pure life of Spirit that comes from the Lord alone. Opposite to carnality, the mind of the Spirit thinks thoughts that glorify the Lord and gives him first place as the first love necessary for overcoming. Since Jesus ascended, men have thought wrong thoughts, and divisions and discords have been created, and a massive disparaging of denominations is the result. Rather than being unified in the things of the Lord with a common love one for the other, we have a Christian world divided and secluded as never before. And the writings to the members of the body of Christ have been defiled. The impetus of the writers now is to reinforce their doctrinal slant rather than to allow the individual to know the living Christ without any restraint. But this is the wisdom of God also. For God ordained that this creation fall by the mystery of iniquity, that iniquity would reign and rule the day. Part of this has been the continual war that has been created amongst doctrinal factions. Some 65,000 denominations exist now in the world of men because of the heightened state of iniquity causing such division. Rather than being one with the Father, we have that many views of the Father. It is in the midst of this mindset of carnality and in a world rife with such division that the lowly overcomer removes themselves and separates themselves and comes apart by themselves unto the Lord alone. Not just that, but we are now entered into the beginning of the kingdom age, wherein the throne of Christ will be established with the overcomers upon it also for the next 1,000 plus years. Right here, in the beginning of this reign of Christ, is going to come in wrath to this reign of Christ is going to come in wrath to end the discord and delusion. He will arise in the fury of his wrath to discomfit, end, and make extinct every division and every false view of God. This is all part of his marvelous plan. He has done this for a very specific reason, allowing man to fall so far away from a true identity with himself, and it is through Christ alone that this fallen identity will be removed and man will be restored. In the end of all things, the Father will be in a singular true view because Christ will make it that way. What the overcomer needs to do most of all as the time of his appearing approaches is to deliver their minds from carnal thinking. There can be no thoughts of elitism, no thoughts of being special, no thoughts of being above your fellow man. The overcomer instead must take on the mind of Jesus, that mind which was a servant and not one over and above all others. His mind was such that he thought himself as being one who served rather than one who would be served. His was the mind of submission to the Father, a mind and a thought that his Father's full intended purpose was the full restoration of all things fallen in creation, that no one would be outside of his perfect love, and therefore full restoration would be the outcome for every soul. So Jesus made his bed in the lowest part of the lowest hell, and he lay in that bed and kept his life there in obedience until the Father raised him again. I dare say that he laid his bed in the lowest hell long before he suffered the infamy of the cross. Jesus knew he was equal with the Father, that he was the full manifestation of the Father in flesh, that he and the Father were one, but he willingly laid all that aside to become the first overcomer. So also is the life of they that would overcome all things. They too are laid aside. They made their bed in the lowest hell, not accepting deliverance from crushing trials. These who overcome know that deliverance from the hardships of life and from the cruel bondages they find themselves in during their lifetime in this world would only lead to a lesser resurrection. They do not accept relief from the pain of personal loss or crucifixion. They do not seek to justify themselves or make themselves known. They chose to be unseen, unknown, not in the forefront of what the Lord is doing, but very reclusive and apart from all else. That is because they wish to be identified with Jesus in everything possible, including his passion, and they will not accept deliverance because they know that a better resurrection is in their future. The greatest reward this life can give them is from that which comes after this life is done, not before. And they do not comfort themselves in this world just to maintain a standard that would give them a place and a standing in the eyes of others. They seek to be burdened by the weight of the cross rather than to be delivered from it. Theirs is a life of choice, but that choice is always to suffer as Jesus suffered and to not accept freedom from sufferings. So after Jesus laid down his life, the Father raised him up and now placed him higher than all other things. He, beside the right hand of the Father, is now with a name that is higher than any other name, and that at his name every single knee will bow, and every single tongue confess that he alone is Lord. He is going to share this exaltation with those who identified themselves with him in the same way. In the mystery of Christ, that mystery includes suffering silence. Say it again. In the mystery of Christ, that mystery includes suffering silence. In bearing the weight of this world as an oppressor, and in being willing to endure to the end the mystery of iniquity, bringing their flesh to full fruition so that it can be killed. It is in the flesh coming to a full head that they find deliverance, because the overcomer knows that when the flesh has fully surfaced in their lives, they will be judged and will be identified with Jesus in the power of the cross. In the meanwhile, we have a multitude of self-protectors who are residing in these 65,000 or thereabouts divided denominations. These are the children of Jezebel, that whore who was married to the earthly king of Israel, who persecuted the true prophets of the Lord and Elijah. She and her whoredom displays herself with no shame to every lover that would pass by. When we study the mystery of the great whore, we will see that Jezebel is just one part of that. This whoredom is openly portrayed as one known in the history, but seen in the mystery. She alone will dissuade the masses into committing fornication with her, all with the motive of stealing their hearts away from Christ. It is this whore Jezebel that has caused these divisions to happen. She is creating the many children of whoredom birthed by her fornications, and the souls of men caught in this defilement will be the objects of deliverance when Jesus comes in the full fury of his wrath. For Jesus will arise, the wrath of the Lamb being part of his person, and he will discover this fornication and will judge it, killing it and its children with death, even by the power of his word. This is all beginning now in the unveiling of his kingdom, and no one will be able to hide from this wrath. You will see this in your very day, where you live, by the denominations falling apart and the leadership being exposed with heavy loads of personal iniquity. Nothing will escape his fiery flaming eyes, and all that he brings forth will be openly exposed throughout the entire world of men, and nothing will be hid from any gazing eye. The wrath of the Lamb will work to deliver mankind from this whore. Let it not just the denominations that are caught up with the strife of Jezebel. I'll say that again. It is not just the denominations that are caught up with the strife of Jezebel, so are all the nations. As the Lord judges this whore and kills her children, the denominational systems, the nations, then will be delivered. They will be presented before Christ as nations needing their Savior, and the overcomers ruling with Jesus will destroy in the nations the taint and the fallacy of this whoredom. The nations are also caught up in the same idolatry. The wrath of the Lamb is being unleashed even as you read these pages to bring the nations to judgment. With a rod of iron, the living Christ in company with they that overcome will break to shivers the nations as one would break apart a clay pot. It will be no different. So then, see this take place even in this very hour. The denominational systems of Christendom and the nations that cover the earth, ruled by governments, dictators, kings and queens, will all be broken to shivers by the simple exaltation of the overcomers with the living Christ, the Lamb of God. This is not going to be a long, drawn-out process. This is happening now in real time. The chastisement of the earth and punishing it for laying vile in iniquity is taking place even as you read these lines. All the stars have fallen from the heavens. The systems of men have ceased to give light. The money systems, the banking systems, the economic systems, the governments of the world who choose the way they will be politic themselves, the religious world, the world of ethics and systemic reasoning, all of this is presently being judged. This judgment is going to be very fast. I say unto you in prophecy, the Lord is about to come and glorify his overcoming company. Why? Because he desires that men be delivered from that which kills them, even the whoredom created by that fornicating whore Jezebel, who has held men in bondage for millenniums. Christ will destroy her and her children, and he chooses to do so by co-ruling with they that have overcome as he overcame. Lift up your heads, dear readers of these pages. The wrath of the Lamb has come. So has his power to change your vile body and fashion it like unto his glorified body. These are not vain and faintly hopeful words. This is coming to pass even in our time. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. To be continued, Kenneth B. Fisher.